So we're so happy to host this event today to celebrate the birthday of Babe Ruth and his amazing accomplishments worldwide, but especially here in St. Petersburg. So before you leave here today after the festivities, I invite you to wander through the little Cooperstown exhibit that we have that has a lot of stuff about Babe Ruth and the Yankees in it, as well as the hundreds of other amazing Hall of Famers who came here to St. Petersburg and turned us into the spring capital, right, of the world when it comes to baseball. So I'm going to turn this over to the gentleman that we consider the godfather of Babe Ruth history, that will fill you in all about Babe and his birthday and a lot of his exploits here in St. Petersburg that, of course, I've read throughout the years of living here and now know as legend. So I'll introduce Tim Reed.
Make a deal you can't refuse here and speak about Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth in St. Petersburg. I see we have a mix of people here from out of state and people who know the history here a little, so I'll try to give a brief summary of how important Babe Ruth was in St. Petersburg. And you see these great photos. You can tell he loved it here. But he originally held spring training with the Yankees in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and then New Orleans. And you can imagine how that went. These were the two party towns of America at the time. So the Yankees wanted to come down to St. Petersburg, which was a beautiful city, but it was considered a dry city during Prohibition, where there weren't many nightclubs and not a really roaring 20s kind of city. So when Babe got here, he wasn't too happy about coming, but he said, if anybody can have fun in this town, it's me. And he proceeded to have a lot of fun. And as soon as he got here, hotels started building, golf courses, bridges, and the whole baseball world came here because the other teams would play against Babe Ruth. In one day, they would make more in that one game than they did the rest of the spring season. So he would stay at the famous hotels like the Vinoy you can see across here. He lived in the Flor de Leon. He was at the Don Cesar for a while, the Princess Martha. And we have the Ruth's family here, I think the largest congregation, at least in a long time. And I'd like to introduce who they are and where they are. We have Tom Stevens, who's the grandson. And Tom will be coming up a little bit to speak for a brief here. Anita is here, his wife. There's Anita. And the daughter, Mandy, next to Anita. And Brent is here. Brent runs Babe Ruth Central. Another great guy. He's the grandson. And now their kids, Mandy and Brent's kids, are here. And I don't want to get the names wrong. So maybe when Brent comes up, he can introduce them and Tom. We also have a women's club is represented by Donna. Oh, another one. Thank you. They're here. Babe was a big supporter of the women's club, and so was his wife, Claire. We have writers. We have Frank Amoroso and Ron Amoroso. Frank's written 5 books on Babe Ruth. And they're attorneys, retired attorneys now, but very active baseball historians. We have friends from Annapolis that come in, dear friends of my sister. I don't want to miss anybody. I know I have more people to go through. But we have, Steve Elfman here. Steve is the world expert on Western St. Petersburg. If you ever get to see a site called the Jungle site, what's the exact name of the Jungle? Okay. You'll see, it's an unbelievable website, but he has great, great stuff on Babe Ruth as part of that, because Babe Ruth came here and he famously was known for golfing. He's the man who really popularized golfing in America, which is very little known, although Bobby Jones and Walter Hagen was here, lived here, were better golfers. Babe Ruth was a more famous golfer because he was in the paper all the time golfing. And before Babe Ruth, believe it or not, if you were left-handed, a lot of courses would not let you on. Isn't that incredible? And then, of course, they didn't make many left-handed golf clubs, but Babe Ruth changed all that. He changed so much. He changed the game of baseball. But the thing that made him so great was his humanitarianism. And he mixed, when he came to this town, He supported every humanitarian effort. Most of it is still unknown, but he would help people in need, individuals in need. But he helped build what's now Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, American Legion. He became president of American Legion baseball right before he died. Women's Club. Just the list. Elks. But he hunted and then he went to the Braves in his last year. Just in case you wonder why he's wearing a Braves outfit. There used to be a hotel over here where the Boston Braves stayed. They used to call it the home of the Braves. And Babe Ruth hit a famous home run there, which just ceremonially measured this morning. That was 600 feet. It's the longest ball ever hit against major league pitching. Bobby Ward's here. Bobby and I were interns for the city of St. Petersburg surveying, and his father was a very prominent surveyor in town. So we had the benefit. The way we learned about every boy learned about Babe Ruth playing ball as a kid, right? You always knew Babe Ruth. But we learned details about Ruth's hitting because we would drive past the old waterfront park where Babe Ruth played, and we would get precise, from surveyors, very precise locations of where people hit different balls. Babe Ruth was always the longest. Mickey Mantle had a very long one as well. I know I'm forgetting somebody, but please forgive me, but I'd like to introduce who am I? Oh, my God, here we go. Look who's here. Now, he's a Hall of Fame guy for the Babe Ruth League, down from Massachusetts to come in here for this. So this is a very, very big deal. And the Babe Ruth League sent down from their headquarters that poster back there. They made that last week with highlights of Babe's time here. And I should mention, this is the 100th anniversary. This is why we're doing this. This is basically why the Grapefruit League, what became known as the Grapefruit League, came, because Babe Ruth came to Florida. We've got Bobby Salerno, who's representing the Society of American Baseball Research. Joe Bordeaux. Joe Bordeaux is an incredible baseball historian. What he's done for this city is incredible. He had Julia Ruth, Babe Ruth's daughter, in 2014 here, and he gave her a tour with Will Michaels that I'm sure she never forgot. Anita was here. Please forgive me for the people I've probably forgotten, but I'd like to introduce Tom Stevens, Babe Ruth's grandson.
All right. Hi there. Thanks to the museum for hosting us today. Let's see. I wasn't really prepared for this, but I can tell you that from my earliest memories, I heard about St. Petersburg, Florida. My grandmother, Claire, and my mother were so enamored of this place. That's all I heard about. And my mother, that carried through from my mother. She never thought about retiring anywhere else than Florida. Unfortunately, they chose a place called Homestead. And then something called Andrew came along and that took care of that. So that was the end of her stay in Florida, but I know she always wanted to be there. So this is my first time here, and I can certainly see why they love this place so much. I was just shoveling snow in Bluffton, South Carolina last week, so thinking finally I may wind up here yet. I always like to, when I have a willing audience like this, I always like to tell a story about Babe, so if you're interested, I'll pass on. This one's kind of fun, actually. It involves a ball player named Billy Werber, who was the last ball player living to have played with Babe. He joined the Yankees in the early 30s, which, of course, was the twilight of Babe's career. And he was a little guy, a speedster. And this was his first game. He got up and he got on. And Babe ultimately comes up and he hits one out of the park. And Billy Werber is just, he's like a rabbit. He's in. And he's sitting down before Babe's even hit second base. But he wanted to show him all his speed. He wanted to show off. So Babe comes trotting in, sits down beside him, and it's about like this, and he pats him on the head. Billy Werber told me this story. He said, patted him on the head, and he said, "You don't have to run like that when the baby hits one." Thank you.
Brent Stevens, the Babe's great-grandson. He lives in Atlanta.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is actually my second opportunity to be at this great museum. I actually was here probably about 5 years ago. Got the opportunity to visit the little Cooperstown. If you haven't had the opportunity, I highly recommend it as a baseball fan. We actually had donated a ball from the family to that great display. So I've been to St. Petersburg a few times at this point and always enjoy a trip down here. Not only just for the great weather, but the great people, and of course, just all the great baseball and Babe Ruth history. It's just fun to, you know, earlier today we were in a place that used to be a hotel that Babe spent some time at and also signed some of his contracts, and you literally feel like you're taking a trip back in time, and just really appreciate the great hospitality, and thank you for having us.
Tim Reed, the master of ceremonies, and we have Rui Farias is telling the story. We don't have a mic on him, but when Rui had ordered a cake from a well-known grocery store in St. Petersburg, and he wanted the Babe's uniform on the cake, and the grocery store said it was a copyright infringement. And he tried to explain that the cake would be consumed by the Babe's grandson, great-grandson, and great-great-grandchildren, but that still wasn't enough to get the Yankees on the cake. But it is a number three. It does have pinstripes, and it's a great addition to this event today. The weekend will continue tomorrow. It will be Babe Ruth Day in St. Petersburg, officially designated by the city. And at about 11:30 over at Waterfront Park, they will unveil a new 9-foot statue of Babe Ruth. The statue is Babe Ruth calling his shot, which he did in Chicago, and hit the home run right where he said he would hit it. And then that will be followed by the annual city softball game that will be going on at North Shore Park, and that will be between the City All-Stars, Mayor Welsh, and City Council, City Administration, as well as the world-famous Kids and Cubs softball team. The Kids and Cubs are celebrating their 95th birthday in St. Pete, as well. So it will be quite a day, and then late in the afternoon out in West St. Pete, in the Azalea neighborhood in Admiral Farragut Academy, the old country club where the Babe played golf and hung out over the years. They will have a golf cart tour. Then the speakeasy bar on Park Street, and now JP's Tavern, will be the scene of a party tomorrow night at 6, and then there'll be live music at Sacred Lands. We just grabbed Rick Vaughn. Rick Vaughn, a longtime baseball professional at the Orioles and the Tampa Bay Rays, and has written a great spring training. Your comments on Babe Ruth's centennial in St. Pete?
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I mean, this is something the city needs to celebrate, you know, and I'm glad that they're doing it. I was thinking about when you look back at that time in the early 20s, the city was going through some great growth. And 1925 might have been the biggest year of all. And then you throw Yankees and Babe Ruth in here. And the one thing that I used to love was, and I saw this throughout early publications, were that the writers used to joke to Al Lang, who was the father of bringing spring training baseball here, that St. Pete was really discovered in 1925, not much earlier. And I guess there's some truth to that. But having Babe here, I mean, think about it. That was a city, the population had gone close to around the mid-30s at that time. Think about having Babe Ruth in the middle of a city of 30,000 people. I was trying to come up with something like today. It, and to me, it might be something like Shohei Ohtani and Caitlin Clark and Patrick Mahomes renting a home in Dunedin for a month, you know, all in one place. But that's how big it was. And it was so good to get to see the family here, too.
Yeah. They're great folks, and the great-great-grandchildren. I ask the 10-year-old, when did he discover that he was related to somebody famous? And he said, I guess he is really pretty important. Great, great kid. They live in Atlanta. Rick Vaughn, thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
We have been live at the St. Petersburg Museum of History on 96.7 FM Radio St. Pete as part of our coverage of Baseball Week, the centennial in St. Pete. Our coverage will continue tomorrow for Babe Ruth Day. We'll greet you from Waterfront Park. Actually, we're unofficially calling North Shore Park that for tomorrow. North Shore Park, the home field of the Kids and Cubs, will be on the air following the Florida Folk Show at 12 noon. The first pitch, 12:10 tomorrow afternoon. We'll have the play-by-play for you. And that will be tomorrow afternoon. And we'll also mention, because of the ball game, we're delaying the start of our Songwriters Hour with L.A. Moore. That will feature Mr. Milligan and Pamela Jo Hatley. And we have just heard from Pete Gallagher that our guest tomorrow on the Florida Folk Show will be our friend John Frenzy. So that will be great. Enjoyed John Frenzy just a few weeks ago playing the role of Jimmy Buffett at the Palladium with the Coral Reefers Band. But John Frenzy will be on the Florida Folk Show from the Craftsman House Gallery on Central Avenue beginning tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. So we hope you'll tune in for that. So that will do it from the St. Petersburg Museum of History this afternoon. This is Joe Bordeaux.